And a good afternoon. We come to you from Golden One Center, the Kings and the Cavaliers. We got a lot of football to talk about. We've got all kinds of things happening. Doug Christie, always good to see you, and certainly a disappointing performance last night by Sacramento. I mean, they got blown out by a bad team, and now they're playing, you know, one of the very best teams in the NBA tonight.
Oh, boy, and that can be tough at times, Grant. But you know what? No better way in the NBA to bounce back. You got to come back. That is part of the deal. But the Kings have to learn from these type of games, Grant. When you get guys like, you know, Jameel Wilson knocking down three-pointers, if you don't know their game, once you see it, you got to believe it and make them do something else. Unfortunately, the Kings last night, not a good one.
You know, Jerry and I talk about this all the time. Not that you don't know and a lot of other people don't know, but this is the NBA. It's the best players in the world. And generally speaking, there are a few exceptions. Ben Simmons is an exception, you know, even though he's a very talented player. But for the most part, when you're guarding guards and wing players, you cannot allow them open threes. Because if you do, they're generally going to make those. And when a guy makes one or two, you know this better than anybody because you played shooting guard and you defended the best players in the league night in, night out. I mean, at some point, you got to change what they're trying to do.
Listen, you got to what I call put out the fire, Grant. Once you show me one time, because usually I'm going to test a guy and say, okay, let me see. Man, you might not have it tonight. Whatever. You hit one, okay, now I'm closer. You hit the next one with my hand in your face, now you're not going to catch the ball anymore. These are, you know, I'm going to make sure, and that's my job. You got to make sure that now we got to talk on defense. And
right.
This guy's hot, we got to put that fire out. But these are lessons that young players absolutely have to learn, and I know it drives Coach Yeager and the staff crazy because these are things that you focus on, but then you get out there and you're not able to do it every night.
You know, that's fine and dandy, except for when he was hitting his threes. He wasn't going against young players. He was going against veterans. You know, I mean, and so that's somewhat of an issue to me.
Yes, it is, because as a veteran, these are things that you absolutely have to know, and the communication should be at an even higher level. So because for instance, Grant, when I talk about a guy like Jameel Wilson, maybe you don't know him. Okay, I understand.
Sure.
He's new. He's on a
whatever
it is. But once he shows me, it only takes me hitting mouth one time, and then I understand that you will punch me. So now I'm going to be on alert, and unfortunately, you are correct. There was some veterans out there, and they need to do better at making sure that they turn the faucet off on a guy like that.
Yeah, the Kings started George Hill and Buddy Hield.
Yep.
They started Garrett Temple with Willie Cauley-Stein. I believe it was Garrett Temple.
Yep.
Willie Cauley-Stein and Zach Randolph.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, and I'm sorry, but Willie, to me, maybe he's not a veteran, but he's not a young player anymore. He's in his third season, all right?
Yep.
But he's in his second season, yes. But George Hill, veteran, Temple, veteran, Zach, veteran. I mean, I want to see. And again, you know, I don't want to make it sound like that's the reason why they lost the game, because the reality is, despite all of that, those starters played the Clippers to an even first quarter.
Yep.
All right? It was 30-30.
Yep.
It was really the second unit last night that dropped the ball big time for Sacramento, because they were outscored 41-23 in the second. That's where the Kings lost the game.
Man, oh, man. And I will tell you more than anything, Grant. As I was watching, I came up with this question, and I have to ask you. As you try to find out who on this Sacramento Kings team can be that type of player that you depend on for big minutes every single night, do you think that Willie Cauley-Stein has learned the chance to go out and play 35 minutes a couple times out of all the young players?
I do, yes.
I do, too. Just to see, let me see, can you handle the load? Can you stay focused? Can you bring it for me the next night without that fall off that we've seen from Willie from time to time? Because his level of consistency has impressed me as of late. You know, it's not in all facets. I understand that. But he is, out of all the young players, and I say young, you say third year, I agree with you. But he is beginning to bring it. And the other one might be Bogdan in that area.
The reason why I don't call him young is because he did play 3 years at Kentucky, and now he's in his third year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that makes him a little older. But you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
As, like, his first year, he really didn't play that much. And then the second year until DeMarcus got traded, until he really started to get those minutes. So
true.
Now I would say he started off this year kind of really up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
But as of late, he's found what I've considered. He might be the type of rotational player that you're looking for, but maybe you got to put him out there and let him fall on his face or fly.
I'll even go one step further. I don't think he started the season up and down. I think he started the season down.
Yeah, well said. I would agree with you totally, right. Because and we said as much as far as we've expected more out of him.
Yes.
Rebounding, different things, but his rebounding numbers have been okay. Last night, what I was impressed with, Grant, he did to DeAndre Jordan what DeAndre Jordan did to him. He ran the floor,
right.
Threw it over the top. He was dunking the ball. I like to see the aggressiveness. So from him, I like what I saw last night.
You know, a lot of people want to know about Scott LaBeouchere, and I get that. And I said this on Twitter last night flying home. I'm not worried about Scal right now. If we're having this same conversation next year at this time, then I'll be worried. I'm not worried about that right now because the reality at the situation is the Kings have a lot of players that play Scal's position. And if you want to talk about bigs, and we know yeah. everyone's interchangeable, four or five, whatever. So I see the big picture, and the big picture is the trade deadline is 6 weeks from now. And I really believe that some of these players that we're watching play significant minutes are not going to be on the team after the trade deadline, which is going to once again free up a lot of playing time for some of the younger players, similarly to what we saw last year. And I like the fact that the trade deadline is earlier this year, so that after the trade deadline, the Kings will have 30 games, okay? And I firmly believe that for the final 30 games, you're going to see very, very similar to what we saw last year in the final 25 games.
Yeah, I would say you're going to see guys get a lot of minutes. And I will say this, Grant, for all the fans and the people on Twitter who are saying Coach Yeager this and Coach Yeager that, let me tell you something. Coach Yeager, have I questioned as I'm watching, what's the rotation going on? Yeah, I have done that. But I understand this. No one has done what Coach Yeager's done. So we have to understand, it's easy for people to judge them right now and all that. But you know what? This isn't something that you're going to be able to judge right now. Let this man do his job, and once it's happened and you can look at a body of work, then you can begin to say, did this work? Did this not work? Because all this up and down, and one night it's, you know, you win, but you're winning with the older players, you lose, you really can't look. You're trying to develop players, allow them to develop the players.
Yeah, and you're trying to develop them in the right way.
Yes, as well.
Based on, you know, maybe you can help out the fans that don't understand this, and I get it because I know
yeah.
you, and I've been doing this for 30 years, and I feel like I do have a really good understanding. But when you're a very good vet, and we have some very good vets on this team, and you're in the months of November and December, mm-hmm. and you might be putting players on the floor that haven't really earned that time yet,
yeah.
then what happens to the locker room?
You lose the locker room, but even more than that, Grant, you will lose the young player, and I don't mean lose him. The ability to develop might go away because if they believe that what they're doing is okay and they're getting minutes.
And it's good enough.
And it's good enough, but they're not coming to the gym early, or they're not staying long enough, or they're not putting in an extra time, or they think just what the coach is doing is enough. If you're just doing what the coach is doing, that's not enough, Grant. It is not. You know, I was playing many minutes. I would come on days off, and I'm running 2 miles on the treadmill. I'm doing squats. I'm because I could vibration. I could feel what I'm going to need to
sure.
do to compete against a guy that gets two freaking jerseys retired.
It's like giving allowance to your kids when they didn't do their chores.
Exactly. You're sending the wrong
right,
message.
Right.
And that is up to them to learn.
Sure.
Someone needs to step up, and that's why I brought up Willie. In my opinion, I think Willie has stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves the ability
sure.
to do that. Other players have to step up now, and that, in my opinion, is not Coach Yeager's
fault. And I don't want to paint a picture that, because I don't know this, about players' work ethics on the
yes,
team. Other than this, okay, I'm not at the practices, but I talk to the assistant coaches, and the one thing they talk about with Scal, that's the one thing they don't ever
that's
talk
awesome.
About.
That's so awesome.
Like his work ethic in the gym all the time. They don't ever question that. They say the guy, that's not a problem with him.
And last night, Papa Giannis got in. He did something good. The first guy clapping, Grant, was Scal.
Yeah.
I just went, that is a good teammate. That is an aspect of being a good player.
Great
is
point.
Being a good teammate. And when I look at him, I'm like, yes. First of all, he has to put in the work. And obviously, I'm not at practice, so I don't know. But I take the coach's word. He's putting in the work. If you
yep.
keep going, you'll crack it.
Yep. And again, I keep on. You know this because you've done it for how many years you play in the league?
14.
All right. It's such a long season.
Oh.
There's so much ebb and flow. And there are always opportunities. And I mean this. There are always opportunities for players on every roster to earn playing time.
Yeah.
Even on the really good teams, there's always, here's the deal. if you're playing well, when you get on the court, the coach is going to figure out a way to continue to play you.
Yes. And Grant, how bad do you want it? That's the question. How bad do you want it? Do you want it worse than your opponent? Do you want it more than your teammate? If you want it more than your teammate, what that does, Grant, is that pushes the level of everybody up. And I always say this, Grant, it has to be visible. I want to see offensive players turn their back because the defense is up in them. We're not worried about the offensive end. That's going to eventually come. It's the effort on the defensive end, the communication, all those different things. The players have to grow. And last night with a guy hitting 2 and 3 and 4 threes on you, that was an area that they have to grow in.
So, hey, in a nutshell, and we'll open up this for phone calls, okay? You can't just roll out your five young guys and have them play and then at the end of the day say, oh, gee, you know what? We accomplished what we wanted to. We got them experience. There are many other ways to get experience than that. And so just watch the process. Listen, I get the fact that it's difficult for fans at times to understand what's going on.
It's difficult for me to watch sometimes, Grant. That's why I say, have I questioned, like, man, why did coach? But coaches in practice, coaches in the training room, coaches in the locker room, coach understands his team better than anyone else.
You know, it's funny. I don't know who it was on Twitter that was conversing back and forth with Carmichael Dave, and they said, well, it's pretty obvious that, you know, Coach Yeager has favorites and he doesn't like Scal.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it's just the opposite. Coach Yeager loves Scal, okay? Absolutely loves Scal, but he's not playing right now, and he has his reasons for that. But, you know, it's not about playing favorites. It's about, you know, trying to do the right thing for the team.
You know, interestingly enough, I relate this to my son. I love my son so much, I'm honest with him.
Mm-hmm.
I love my son so much that I'm going to be frank with him. And I'm going to – he's showing love. Now, I don't know that relationship. But doing it the right way and showing you that you don't get to go – even though you're not doing it correctly, you got to pay your dues. And that, in my opinion, is probably the greatest thing that you can give a professional athlete, trying to show them if they want to be successful.
All right, 1 week left in the National Football League, and we never thought we would say this with 1 week left to go, but the 49ers are trending north and the Raiders are big time trending south, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They could have the same record.
They could not, but they could have the same record, but the 49ers record looks a heck of a lot better than the Raiders record. Does that, you know what I mean? Because of Jimmy Garoppolo and the impact that he's made on this team. The Raiders just flat out offensively, they have looked lost all season, with the exception of one game that sticks out in my mind, and it was the Thursday night game against Kansas City. Take that game off the board. The Raiders' offense has looked putrid all season.
You know, they started the year, Grant. I don't know if it was, you know, coming off of last year and thinking that we're just going to walk through this season. But the first two games they win, and then, in my opinion, it was that third game, that game in Washington where they went and laid an egg.
Yep.
And that has kind of been
turned the season.
Yeah,
yep.
It's kind of been what their season has been about. And you can point at a lot of different areas and say, okay, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, all these different things. The players have to go.
They were 2-0 going into that game.
Exactly. And from that point, yeah, did they win some? Yeah, they won a couple, but it never went how we thought it would go from that game on.
Awful. It's been awful. There's no other way to say it. It has been an awful season for the Oakland Raiders.
And you know, something interesting, when I think about the Oakland Raiders last year, granted, it was their offense.
Mm-hmm.
So were we expecting a lot out of their defense? We were expecting improvement, but we were expecting their offense to carry them, and it is just not done at
all. Their offense has regressed big time.
Absolutely, and I don't know if that was because I read something about tension between Derek Carr and Musgrave,
mm-hmm.
and now Derek Carr, and he wanted the new guy, and whether that's true or not, who really knows, but obviously something is up because that offense looks nothing like it did last year.
I said this, and I'm hoping that at the end of the game on Sunday, I'm hoping that Derek Carr comes out and goes, you know, I didn't want to say this, but I've been playing hurt all year. And, you know, because to me, that's the only thing, and I really mean this, that will give, if I'm a Raiders fan, would give me a lot of optimism heading into next year. I've been very consistent about Derek Carr. I think he's overrated. I think he has been overrated. I think that he's good, but I don't think he's very good to great. I think he has the ability, but again, he's a young quarterback in the league, and I think that people put a label on him that was premature. And until I see him play more consistently, I'm gonna keep that label off of him because he's not great, and in my opinion, he's not close to being great. And this year, I mean, just if you're going to base it on this body of work this year, he's been a below-average quarterback in the NFL.
And I couldn't argue that, Grant. I mean, I was thinking Super Bowl. I was thinking AFC Championship. I was thinking big things. And what I've seen, you said it first, at least I'll say first that I heard. You said, I have a feeling that he's going to come out afterwards and say he was hurt.
I hope so.
I would say that is probably correct. It doesn't sound like you come back from something like that and you're just 100%. Yeah. What the level of his hurt, and I'm not saying, or you know what, let me say injury, because he's still injured. There's a difference, but he's playing injured, and I commend him for that. But at the same time, obviously the team is suffering.
All right, and then you have the 49ers, and again, the 49ers, what they did to a very good Jacksonville defense is unbelievably impressive. Jimmy Garoppolo looks like a steal right now and looks like a guy that the 49ers are going to be able to build around for many years to come. I mean, he looks excellent.
Man, I will tell you, Grant, looking at Jimmy G, I mean, I think he was, you know, what you would expect of a guy. And not a lot, no one has really lived up to the expectations after coming after Tom Brady. But I will tell you, what they say, Jimmy GQ, the man, he's living the dream. He's in San Francisco. They are winning. There's a confidence that looks like when you look at them right now. And you put better players in some of those key positions. Like nothing against.
Yeah.
But you pair him up with the right type of guys. Yep. And boy, oh boy, I don't know.
And I'll tell you, more importantly, he has completely reborn the 49er fan base. They're now excited again. They want to go to the games again. So he took a library atmosphere where nobody wanted to go to the games, okay?
So you're saying you've seen some people in the stands?
Yeah. But you know what I mean? But think about this.
Yeah, you're all right.
So he's done that. And, you know, I know that he's not going to win it, but you could make the argument based on his draft day trade and everything else with getting Jimmy Garoppolo, you could make an argument that John Lynch is the executive of the year in the NFC.
Absolutely. What about, was it Juszczyk? And we were saying, what is he doing signing that guy? But he fits into their system the way that they want them to. Now you pair that with this type of pulling off of getting a guy like that. Now, what about the fact that their draft pick, Grant, probably be top five, top eight, somewhere in there?
It's going to be top eight.
Would you take that draft pick and trade it away since you got your quarterback and get I'll use the word plethora,
It depends on, number one, what your biggest need is.
Okay.
And when you stack up and evaluate the draft, if your biggest need is sitting there where you're selecting, then no, you won't trade. You will take that pick. In my opinion, that's what they would do.
Yeah, I would say that the offensive line obviously still needs some work. Mm-hmm. You need some position players and different things. But this evaluation process for them, I would say that they have to be going into the offseason thinking, yes, sir. Don't get hurt, Jimmy, right now, obviously. But, man, oh, man, he's shown the ability, Grant, not only to lead a team, but inspire a team. That's a big thing.
Yep. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The other big news, James Harrison, released by the Steelers. Marquise Pouncey, the center, comes out today and just rips him to shreds. He goes and signs with New England. And so, you know, again.
What's your take?
My take is you never know what's going on within the walls of an organization unless you're with that organization.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
But number two, we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I go by their track record. And so when a guy like Pouncey, who, by the way, I must put out, also he and his brother from the Dolphins were wearing, you know, free Aaron Hernandez T-shirts. So, yeah, I'm not sure if he's the best source when you do something like that. However, he's the center of a football team, and he's been there a long time, and he's got a great pulse of the locker room, and he made it very clear that James Harrison wanted out, and anyone that tells you differently is lying. It's just like Landon Collins of the New York Giants, who came out on his radio interview and called Eli Apple a cancer. He did, but
I got you.
Let me get to step two of that.
Okay.
I watched the Giants press conference today with Steve Spagnuolo, And Steve Spagnuolo talked about Landon Collins and Eli Apple, and he said he met with both of them, and then he said they met together, and he said it was a great meeting and blah, blah, blah. And then he was asked about specifics. He said, you know, I'm not getting into specifics because that's private. Follow-up question, will Eli Apple play this week? And he said, well, we'll see. You know, he's on the practice field. Okay, 1 hour after the press conference, the Giants came out with a statement that Eli Apple has been suspended for the final game of the year for conduct detrimental to the team. I guess he had a very vulgar reaction to the media when he was asked to speak after practice, and the Giants basically said, you know what, we don't want that player in our locker room. We don't want that player being around our organization, and so we are suspending him for conduct detrimental to the team. I will also say this. Landon Collins is the New York Giants' best defensive player.
No doubt.
Okay? The Giants are going to have a new general manager, and they are going to have a new head coach. You know how I feel about this. You're not going to win with bad people in your locker room. And if Eli Apple is deemed that, and it apparently it is based on some of the people that I've spoken to in New York, if he is a, for lack of a better word, a cancer, whatever, regardless of his talent level, the Giants need to move in a different direction.
You know, I read a lot on that because I know you're a Giants fan. And you know what I find unfortunate, Grant, is I don't know Eli Apple.
Right, I don't either.
But I read all the stuff about
his family,
his mom,
right,
and his family.
Yep.
And what I find, because I've been through that, and it's tough when you're the guy and you got parents and different
yep.
things. I had to – do you remember when LeBron James' mom ran on the court?
Yes.
And she never did again.
That's
because
right.
He was able to take control of the situation.
Correct.
I had to have a really tough conversation with my mom, and it's a hard conversation to have because all of a sudden you are an adult and you're the guy and the breadwinner and different things. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know Eli, but I think he needs to have that conversation, and that is a hard one to have.
Okay, he may, but you see, to me, and I totally understand where you're going, and I'm not saying I don't agree with you where you're going. But did your issues that you were going through affect the way you interacted with your teammates
Never.
And how you were in the locker room? Okay, that really is the only thing that matters in this
yes.
situation because he's getting paid to be a professional football player. And, hey, he's not the only one that's having family issues. There are guys going through divorces. There are guys that, you know, have children that have diseases. And I mean, you know, my point is there are all kinds of things. Athletes are human, okay? They're not immune to everyday situations that we go through.
Yeah.
So from what I'm hearing is Eli Apple's behavior in the Giants locker room has been such that it has divided members of the team, and it has been, to use a phrase, unprofessional.
Wow.
So, yeah, he may be having issues with his brother-in-law, his mother, whatever. That may be very true. But when you then become a detriment inside your family,
yes.
which is the New York Giants locker room,
right.
then at that point, you know, you're not doing any good for the organization. And it's not like no one has sympathy for him. Again, everyone's got problems. But you can't do that in your locker room.
You know, it's similar, oddly enough, to the LeVar Ball situation, except when you look at Lonzo, it's obviously not affecting the locker room
Correct.
That much. But it's such a delicate situation when I look at those two things. You talked about divorce and different things like that. Those guys are grown men handling their business. They have their own family. He's still attached to the umbilical cord, it sounds
yeah,
like.
I think
and
so.
And you got to sever that, and you got to
yep.
become a man, and you got to handle your business.
Yeah.
Especially in a locker room like the NFL. Them some grown men.
Well, yeah, and here's the other deal. In a basketball team, you're only dealing with, you know,
yes.
with 13 or 14 men,
yep.
okay? In a football locker room, you're dealing with over 50 and many, you know, it's a whole different animal.
And I've never been in there, but
right.
I know. And then you separate it into offensive and defensive and
yeah.
different things. It can get tough.
All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Again, if you want to call, you can at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We're going to have Fred McLeod on in the next segment. He is the TV voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are coming off a tough loss. And by the way, speaking of that tough loss, the NBA's final two-minute report came out today. And they said that from, I think it was a minute 38 down yep. to the end, they missed three foul calls on the Golden State Warriors and one on the Cavs. But the ones that were in question were the final drive that LeBron had down the lane. The NBA acknowledged that there should have been two foul calls on that. Durant with an arm bar, and then again on the drive, that they missed both of them.
Are you talking about wrestling? You said arm bar. I don't know what the heck's going on. Do we have two-minute reviews when I played?
No.
They should go back and look at our series. I would love to hear that. That would be awesome.
Oh, my God. It would, first of all, it would end up being a textbook because it would be 500 pages.
No doubt.
Can you imagine a final 2-minute review on that?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Upset a lot of people.
Wow. All right. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. And don't forget, Fred McLeod to talk Cavs next on Sports 1140. All right, we are back with you here at Golden One Center. It's the Kings and the Cavaliers, and it's a pleasure to be joined by Fred McLeod. He's the TV voice of the Cavs. Fred, Grant Napier, and Doug Christie, how are you?
Well, Grant, let's play Guess the Temperature in Bowling Green, Ohio right now.
I will guess it's 60 degrees less than it is here in Sacramento.
It feels like temperature, according to my wife, who does weather in Cleveland. It's -4.
-4 in Bowling Green, Ohio right now.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's very nice to know. Thank you. And even though class is not in session, had it been in session back between 77 and 81, I, for one, would not have made it to class that day.
No.
Nope. I heard LeBron's comments today at shoot-around, and then the NBA comes out with their final 2-minute report, and that probably doesn't make him any happier. But, that was a game which the Cavaliers were right in it, and that's tough to digest when you get, calls that are going against you, isn't it?
Yeah, and, he's like Shaq, Grant. Doug, those guys are so hard to officiate because you almost have to run them over with a Zamboni to get him off balance. And so, he just absorbs contact and he continues to attack. I haven't checked the last couple of days, but he's not in the top 10 in free throws attempted. Like, that reminds me, I need to do that before tonight's game. But he's, around 12, getting about 6 a game. And, he's still one of the leaders and he's second in paint points. So he's attacking, continuous attack, and he just doesn't feel like he's sometimes he'll complain, but he's got a reason to, and so he gets frustrated, but he fights through it, and he'll attack the rack again tonight.
When you say fight through it, oddly enough, I think that sometimes that might work against LeBron. The reason that I say that is a lot of times when he's going to the rack, he will accentuate, but he almost needs to over-accentuate the fact that he is being fouled because he goes to the rack, you said, probably about second in the NBA as far as paint usage and scoring, but not getting to the line in the top 10, that is just unacceptable in my opinion.
Yeah, and again, I go back to Shaq. It does remind me, a different art form, as beastly as he was. But it's just against LeBron's nature to, flop in the air, so to speak. But, maybe he has to. I don't know. It's just it's incongruous when, the official 2-minute report comes out that way and the officials are telling they didn't see contact. So, it's just – and Grant, we've been to those referee seminars, and they say they don't officiate differently in the final few minutes of a game. Man,
they do.
Yes, they do.
Hey, Fred, let's talk about what you expect when Isaiah Thomas comes back. Obviously,
one heck of a job.
I love the guy. I know that just being around him, you probably have seen the same thing. I mean, he's one of my favorite players in the league. But I guess looking ahead, once he gets into basketball shape and acclimated with his teammates, how do you think the rotation will go? Who do you think is going to lose out on the minutes?
Oh, with Isaiah coming back?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Probably Jose Calderon, but Jose has done a remarkable job of steadying this ball club. Picking and choosing when to take shots. But, Jose knows that and is expecting that. And once Derrick Rose comes back, it's going to be interesting to see how he might fit into the dynamic. IT's going to have the ball in his hands and will also play off the ball, too. And he's never had that ability. Correct me if I'm wrong, maybe he did here in Sacramento, but certainly not in Boston where he was playing much off the ball and certainly not in Phoenix. So, I think that'll be because, as you guys know, I don't have to tell you, he can really shoot that rock. And so it's going to be really fun. The entire fan base is salivating at the thought of him coming back into the mix and how he'll be integrated. He's not going to go score 29 a game like he did last year, but heck, if he scores 18, this is.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll score 18. You can take that to the bank. I can guarantee you he's going to score 18 a game.
Yeah, and, you know, he'll find his shots. And, you know, this is already the third-rated offense in the league now without him. And so it's the deepest team that I've ever been around in Cleveland history. In fact, it's the best bench at 40-plus in the history of the franchise. So we'll see.
You know what I find interesting about that is watching his evolution. I'm from Washington, and he's from Tacoma, so I got to see him as a high school player and obviously at the University of Washington, watch his growth throughout the NBA. His IQ has improved so much. Is there any way that you can think maybe the ability to sit and watch how LeBron and the Cavaliers play from the perspective of the home bench may help him in his integration?
Oh, no doubt. In fact, I'd asked him about 3-4 weeks ago. I said, what do you see? And he says, man, I just can't wait to be able to get out there. Because he will. He'll impact the pace right away. And that's how Ty Lue wants to play. I think we're middle of the pack in pace right now. But when I say we, might as well, I'm part of the Cleveland family. When the Cavs beat Golden State 2 years ago in the finals, you may recall, Cavs outscored them by like 8 a game in fast break points. So we're at our best. Cavs are at their best. Grant, can I say we? You say we.
Sure.
Yes.
I don't, but you can.
Yeah.
I do.
Doug does, you know, yes.
I joke about that. But this team wants to run. You know, they're not Phoenix with Mike D'Antoni's group, but they want to, as most teams do, Doug, you know this, they don't want to operate against a full half-court defense. So
right.
I think Isaiah will really help push the pace.
And I read that the Cavaliers are going to Napa tomorrow on the off day. That's not bad.
Yeah, that'll be a first time ever for LeBron, and at least as a group. Yeah, we'll spend the entire day. It's pretty cool because, you know, Ty really trusts this group. They don't practice a lot because it's an older group. But like yesterday, on an off day, they wanted to go into the gym themselves and staying ready, and that's what he can trust in these guys to stay ready. And so tomorrow will be a good bonding day. I mean, the world's a better place when you can get to Napa, right?
Well, man, I was just wishing they could have went to Napa yesterday because they would come in here full of vino, and that would have been just awesome. I know I watch on Instagram and things, LeBron is a big wine connoisseur, so boy, oh boy, they are going to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, if that was the case, Jerry would say, oh, there's a bunch of hangover Henrys out there. That's why the Kings are beating the Cavs tonight, Grant.
Oh, man, that's great to see. That would be a great line. We're talking with Fred McLeod. He is the TV voice of the Cavaliers. Right now, this team seems to be, you know, on all, I don't want to say all cylinders, but just in watching them play a couple games, it just seems to me that they're where they want to be, and now when they get Isaiah back, they're going to be, I said this on TV last night, Fred, I just don't see any team in the East being able to beat the Cavaliers 4 games if the Cavaliers are healthy. I just don't see it happening.
You know, especially with their history and, you know, listen, Toronto's a very good team, but they have their number. They've got Washington's number. I mean, pure folly with John Wall and Bradley Beal saying the Cavs, you know, conveniently skipped them in the other bracket and didn't want to play them. That's a joke. You know, Boston's really good, and Kyrie's capable of winning games, but when this team, that's what I say, when they're full guns, which we have, I think we've got 10 different starting lineups, so when we get the full arsenal, it's going to be, the question is, how long is it going to take for Isaiah to get integrated and vice versa, and that'll take some time, and Derrick Rose, frankly, before he hurt the ankle on a flagrant foul, he was at full bore, you know, explosion, so... You know, and when you got 23 out there playing the best basketball of his career, and he truly is. His numbers this year, Grant, are ahead of the 4 years of MVP numbers put together. If you put all those MVP seasons together, his numbers across the board are better this year.
That is incredible. You know, there's been a lot of speculation about maybe trades and different things. If there was one thing when you look at this team and you say, this is one area that we could – now, let's say that Isaiah is integrated, first of all, and you're looking at this team. There's one area. What might that be?
You know, they still want to improve themselves defensively in the stretch of much better basketball of late. They have – in the middle of the pack defensive rating-wise. So, but, you know, they could always use some more basket protection, but that comes at a cost. And, you know, I'm sure Kobe Altman, the general manager, is looking at possibilities. And, you know, no one's going to gift wrap anything for the Cavaliers, so or for any other team, that matter. But I think you know, they could use a little more size. You know, we're down rebounding wise this year as opposed to past seasons, and getting a healthy Tristan Thompson back now off a calf injury is helping that. But you know, teams can always get a little bit better in the interior, you know, basket protecting.
Well, enjoy Napa tomorrow. It's only supposed to be 65, which is about, you know, 70 degrees warmer than it's going to be back home in Cleveland for Fred. So, yeah, it's not bad. Make sure you, you know, antagonize everybody, all your friends. Make sure you send plenty of pictures and everything just to, you know, tick them off over the holidays. You know, Fred, you got to do that.
Yeah, I'll ask them to tweet me some frozen grapes. You know, I'll take care of our calves and our pinos, and we'll be resting comfortably for 24 hours. Anyway.
That's beautiful. We'll see you when you get out of here. Thanks, Fred.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
it. Take care. That's Fred McLeod, the TV voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Boy, oh boy. Just talking about that number 23 every night, Grant, and what they've put around him. He has been spectacular to watch. You and I have talked about it many times. We get a lot of people who call in and they hate on LeBron. I don't quite understand why or how, because he is exemplary. I enjoy watching his professionalism and watching how he goes about his business.
All right. Again, we are with you right up till 5:30. It's game night, then the pregame at 6:30, and all the action coming your way at 7 o'clock. It is the Kings and the Cavs, and the Kings played Cleveland very well just a few weeks ago in Cleveland. The Cavs are coming off a loss. You know they're going to be focused. They got a big day tomorrow, and they want to make sure that Tyronn Lue does not change his mind if they should get upset and say, no, we're not going to Napa. All right, we'll be right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. All right, we are back with you, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, back to that final two-minute report. We're not on the air saying it's easy to officiate, but I thought Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson made great points, and they said in a situation where you have a review anyway,
right?
Because the ball went out of bounds and you're checking to see who the ball went out on,
right?
In the final 2 minutes, you as an official know when you look at the replay that you missed a foul call, but the rules do not permit you to review that. Since the game's being stopped anyway, the question is, why should you not be able to review a foul? Because in that situation, you would have said, well, the ball was out on Cleveland, but we missed a foul call, and we're awarding LeBron James 2 free throws. Why can't you do that?
It's going to hurt.
Isn't the purpose of the game
it is
to get it right?
Yes.
I mean, the purpose of replay, to get it right?
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, so many times, Grant, the ball has gone off of a different player, but there was a foul. And we've seen time and time again, it would be interesting to see them do that. But, boy, oh, boy, I mean, how deep down the rabbit hole are we going to go?
Well,
that's the question.
My point is, the game is already being delayed for replay because the ball went out of bounds and they review that. So if you're going to review anyway in the final 2 minutes like that, why not just review foul calls? Because, again, am I saying that Cleveland would have won the game? I don't know that. They would have had a better chance to win the game had that foul been called. I don't know if he would have made the free throws. I don't know what would have happened after that.
Right.
But if the purpose of replay is to get it right and you're stopping the game anyway, then see if, you know, review everything.
Why do you, or maybe you know this, the last 2 minutes, just because it's, I guess, more important, because that's the only time. Every time there's anything during the last 2 minutes, you see the players doing this with their fingers, waving them around the air. Let's review it. Let's review it. Do they need to expand upon that? Would that then make the game start being too long? Because right now the game's around two hours, 2:08. They've done a good job, these timeouts, of taking a lot away from the game.
I think they have done a nice job. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Do I think that you should be able to review every single play in the final 2 minutes? No, I don't. I don't think anybody wants that. But, you know, in a case like that where you're reviewing it anyway, then, you know, we all saw that they missed a call. Well, let's get it right.
I mean, because listen, if we're buddies and we're referees, right, Grant, and we go over to the table and I look and we're both looking and I see that there's a foul, I'm probably going to nudge you like, damn, you missed that, man. You really screwed that one up. Oh, my bad. What were you over here for? Oh, it is out on him, but you really, I mean.
Right, and here's the other deal. The foul calls in that situation would be done by the official in New Jersey.
Okay.
So by the time you got to the table, they would already say, hey, the foul is on so-and-so. So it wouldn't even take that much time.
You've said that so many times that why does it take so long? By the time they get to the table, they should already have looked at it because in New Jersey they should already know. I don't understand that part. That would make things go a lot faster because they are already there. That's what they're doing in New Jersey. They're looking at everything. So by the time the refs get there, they should already have an idea at least, and it shouldn't take as long.
Well, I know one thing. You would have a world championship ring on your hand if they had that rule in place where you could review the final 2 minutes and call foul calls and not call foul calls.
Oh, Grant, why do you want to make me?
Hey, because I'd have one too. It's not just you. I'd have one too.
That's a good point. You're all sized up for it?
I was, actually.
Damn.
Yeah, I had said, okay, just in case. I was going to give it to my father. I wasn't going to keep it. I was going to give it to my dad.
My dad would have had one, but yep. I would have bought it for him.
I was going to get it. I was going to get if you know.
So you wouldn't have had it. You were going to give it to your dad.
I was going to give it to my dad. I wouldn't have kept it. No,
you just got two, Grant. Then you should have bought your boys one.
I didn't go that far. I didn't think that far ahead. I just thought, you know, if the Kings win and I would get a ring, I would give it to my father.
How did we get on this damn topic, Grant? Anything else to talk about, man?
I started it.
Come on.
Well,
let's move away.
Here's the deal. I health willing.
There you go.
I'm not planning on going anywhere, so we can still
size us up again.
Yep,
you got a good point right there. I'm down with that.
My father has passed, but I won't. So, but I would keep the ring now.
He's here in spirit, yes, because we keep those conversations alive. Yes. He taught you well, my friend.
All right, again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. We're with you until 5:30. We got a lot of football to talk about coming up at 5:00. We are going to talk with Chris Landry. It is the Landry Football Report, so we'll check in with him on everything that's going on around the National Football League, and then we have Lincoln Kennedy coming on the show as well today. So we'll check in with Link and get his take on, you know, what a disastrous season this has been. I really give Link a lot of credit because last week, he didn't pull any punches.
He did not. I just went, I looked at you when he said it because I went, okay, well, hey, he keeps it 100. I like that about Link.
All right. So we've got all of that coming up, plus your phone calls. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. LeBron James is in the house. It's the Kings and the Cavaliers. And anytime you have the best player in the world coming in, it is a big time.
Oh,
all right, and
it's
a big deal. I mean, this is not just another game. This is the best player in basketball coming into your arena.
It's going to be packed, and it will be. You can feel the energy tonight, baby.
You like that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those were because for us, we were one of those teams.
Yes.
But also, it was the Lakers when they came to town, and Allen Iverson and different players. And you obviously know when that player's in town because there's a life about the building, and I can't wait.
All right, so we'll take the break. Again, we will come back, and we will move on, and we'll talk about some other things that are going on in the world of sports as well. This is Sports 1140 KHTK.